Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I have a special program for you today. I've invited a local attorneys actually, to come on and talk with us today about a very interesting and sometimes overlooked subject, and the subject is intellectual property. What is that? Well, we're going to find out today, and we're going to learn more about it, and especially for those business owners out there, what do you have that should be protected? Have you protected? Do you know how to protect it? And so we're going to get some good advice today, some good insight, and joining me on the program is local attorney, and I say local, we're on the east coast of Florida here, if you're listening in another state. But for those local, we're in Ormond Beach, and the attorney is Greg Snell. Greg, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, you've been on the program before. You know, rave reviews. We had all these people tell us how great you were, and we had to have you back.
Good. They didn't tell me, but I'm glad they told you.
They told me. And then we have another attorney that is with you now in your office. An attorney has just joined your firm.
Yes.
I'll let you introduce.
This is Lori Sandman. And yes, it is Sandman. That's a real name. It's not a fictitious name. We could talk about those two, but we'll get into all of that. But Lori is actually a licensed attorney in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. She has family down in this area, so she is moving down. She's going to have the pleasure of taking the Florida bar exam soon in July.
Oh, she looks excited.
Yes, it's always fun to take the bar exam. And she is a registered patent attorney, which I'll let her tell you what's required to be a patent attorney.
All right, very good. Well, welcome, Lori.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
I'm glad you're here because us people in this area and business owners, we have lots of questions about patents and trademarks and service marks and intellectual property and all that, because I think a lot of people just don't know what all that is until they have a problem. Then they find out what it is, right?
I think you're right about that.
So let's start with one of the basic things. And I know individuals are going to be interested because everybody's got their idea of someday they might invent something and they want to put a patent on it and then, you know, try to sell it and all that. So everybody has that dream, I think, or a lot of people do. Either inventing something with a patent or winning the lottery, one of the two. So start with us, Lori, and share with us a little bit about the general idea of what these patents and all this intellectual property is about. And then what does it take maybe to start? What does it take to do what you do to be a patent attorney? There's a 3-hour program.
Okay, well, I can start by telling you that intellectual property is basically property that derives from your mind or your intellect. They are ideas that you bring to fruition, whether or not these ideas turn into some sort of utility or whether they're used for marketing things like trademark that bring recognition to your products, trade dress, and they create value by being a component of your business.
Okay, so because I think a lot of times it's hard to define them, or it seems like it's hard to define because it's not the same as a building or a car or a computer, or because these are things that are what we would call intangibles.
Often they are. However, things like patents are very tangible. So in some cases, your intellectual property will be more intangible. In other cases, you'll have an object or a product that you'll actually want to protect.
Okay, so the actual patent then is going to be, okay, here's a product. Let's say it's a new kind of pen or a new kind of water bottle or any of the other things that are on my desk here, and you get a patent to protect your rights to sell it, to license it, to use it, so nobody else comes along and says, that's mine.
Well, what a patent does is it gives you, for a limited time, an exclusive right to make or use or sell or import it into a particular country based on your invention of it and your turning it back over to others to be able to use. So in exchange for bringing your ideas to society gives you a limited protection and exclusivity.
So it's a legal monopoly.
In essence, it is. Or a limited term.
I like that.
Yeah. It's usually for 20 years. Some are 14, but it's usually 20. So it seems like a long time, but when you've invented something really good, at 20 years, you know.
Goes quick.
Yeah. You better be ready. You might have better have a plan to.
Better be thinking of the next thing.
That or somehow how to make money when you don't have the patent anymore, which is possible. But there are several different types of patents, and maybe it would help the audience to understand patents a little better.
Sure.
If Lori would just.
All right, let's do that.
We're going to explain what those are.
Good. Let's take a quick break. We'll come right back. And let me give them the website, which is very important because I'm sure people are going to want to come and take a look. It's snelllegal.com and all kinds of good information there about Lori and about Greg and what they're up to. And telephone number is 386 area code 677-3232.
Yeah, that's SNELLEGAL.com. That throws some people.
You got to have three L's in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
SNELLEGAL.com, right. And you're in the firehouse. So sometimes a fire is burning with the patents. So we'll do that. Take a quick break. We'll be right back.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back. You're just joining us. We've got just all kinds of intellectual property in the house today with Greg Snell and Lori Sandman. So let's talk about this. We talked about before the break about some of the basics, but Greg, you set it up kind of before we left for the quick commercial break that, Lori, you're going to kind of describe some of the different types. So why don't we do that? Because I think that would help our listeners.
Sure. Well, with patents, there are generally three types of patents. So you have your utility patent and plant patents and design patents.
Yeah, maybe you could give sort of an example of each of those. Yeah, sometimes, like you said, it gets kind of confusing. You may think you know what we mean, but it's
okay, good. Yeah, let's do that. What's a utility patent?
A utility patent would protect an object of invention. So the pen on the table, the microphone in front of us, some sort of useful object. A plant patent would protect a new form of plant life.
Oh, really? Okay, I was thinking like a manufacturing plant, but you're talking about plant.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
And design patents just protect the ornamental design of a particular object.
Interesting.
And sometimes it gets confusing as to whether something is a trademark or a patent, particularly in that design area, as you can imagine, because a lot of trademarks have to do with a look or the way something is presented. So I mean, somebody like Lori can figure that out.
So we have these three types of patents. In addition to that, you have the trademark.
Sure.
Okay, so what's a trademark?
So a trademark is going to bring your customers to your house. In other words, they're going to draw consumers to the original source of the product. So your trademark would, for example, bring clients to Snell Legal.
The sole purpose of a trademark is to avoid consumer confusion. So like Lori said, what you want to do, like when you create the Holland Financial name for your business.
And our logo and
exactly,
the little swirly
people
lines.
People know your business, who you are, because of that. And you can have a trademark. Somebody else could potentially do that in a different market, a different type of thing, and still get a trademark for it because there supposedly wouldn't be any consumer confusion because they're not in the same sort of business that you're in. But, you know, obviously, a lot of times there would be confusion
right. Because
it's too similar. In any event, that's what it's all about. And sometimes, as Lori had mentioned, trade dress, for example. A good example of that is when you go into a restaurant, for example. This is something I would use. And they use a certain color scheme. And maybe everybody that, you know, you don't realize this sometimes. But when you're going to these different restaurants and businesses and so on, they have color schemes. And they will... You know, that's something that can be protected as well.
So all the things that really uniquely identify that business that is very attached to the business and the value and its image and all the things it invests in, you know, comes to mind the Coca-Cola, the red and the white swirls on their can. So if somebody else comes along, they've protected that look.
That's exactly right.
And so if somebody else comes along with a knockoff cola, it doesn't say Coca-Cola, it says Caca-Cola or Cabacola or some other derivation, but has the same look, the customer could be easily confused. So one, Coca-Cola protects that so that somebody else doesn't try that to use, I guess, take advantage of all the money they've spent for marketing. And it also makes it clear to the customer, you know, the brand identification. How's that? Close?
That's right on.
So yeah, you'll see people sometimes who do knockoffs of goods, of, you know, a lot of consumer goods, maybe things like a certain type of purse, or you know, they have a designer name, but they have their name slightly different with a one letter off or something like that. Obviously, that's a form of infringement.
Right.
They're doing it purposely to
deceive
people.
They're doing it on purpose, yeah.
And those people who actually have a legitimate product need to come in and put a stop to that. You see that a lot with Disney products. We even had a lawsuit here not too long ago over Bike Week. I don't know if you remember that in the papers, but there was somebody who went out and tried to get the trademark on Bike Week and then keep the Chamber of Commerce and the other people who actually are involved here with that whole event, you know, keep them or make them pay them or have a license for the shirts that were being done, or I'm not sure exactly what all their motives were, but they tried to co-opt that whole name and, I guess, sort of the benefit of that whole history that was there with the Bike Week. There's a whole lot of examples of things like that that have
happened. So the trademark, then, is it's a way of protecting your brand.
Right. It's a unique identifier of your source.
There we go.
You as the originator of the product.
Okay, I like that. Lisa's fanning me with the five-second thing, which means we need to take a quick break. We'll come right back. Stay tuned.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
And we are back with the great attorneys from Snell Legal, Greg Snell and Lori Sandman. She is our patent attorney in town, and she's going to be helping us sort out all this stuff. And, of course, Greg is very involved as well. So we talked about patents. We talked about trademarks, getting kind of a good overview here for a 30-minute show. I know we could go on for hours, but the next one, I guess, after trademark, is there something called a service mark?
There are, and a service mark is like a trademark, only it is used on services, companies that provide services opposed to products. So you'll see that in connection with various services that companies offer.
Okay, so the trademark, it's a unique identifier, as you described before the break, unique identifier of the product. Service mark then does that when it is a service that's being provided.
Exactly.
Right. Most people kind of refer to them generically as trademarks.
Trademarks together.
But there are differences. And the only other one that we really haven't mentioned is a trade secret.
Okay. Bill.
And that's a little different than anything we've talked about.
And we can't forget copyrights.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah,
thank you. See, very good. I was going to get to that.
That's why you're here.
That's exactly why Lori's here. So the trade secret, is that like Colonel Sanders' secret recipe?
That's correct.
That would be a trade secret.
Right. And a trade secret is something that you would protect. It's more state protection than it is federal protection, whereas most of these other forms of intellectual property rights are federally protected.
Okay.
Trade secrets are generally fall under state law.
Is it something you can apply for?
Well,
how do you protect your trade, I guess, your trade secret?
Sure. Trade secrets are actually, they exist as long as you keep the secret. So they don't have a time limit, and so generally you'd want to keep something a trade secret if you don't want it to expire in 20 years. You would have a trade secret on, as you mentioned, a formula or a recipe or something along those lines that you wouldn't want to go into the public domain after a specific period of time. So as long as it's kept a secret, it will remain a trade secret.
And the way you do that, I guess what I was thinking is the way you do that is through some sort of protective document that says, you know, like with an employee or somebody who goes to work for, we'll use Colonel Sanders, somebody goes to work and they're involved with the actual, you know, using that secret ingredient, they're going to sign something that says, you won't disclose our trade secrets.
That's one of the requirements, is that you treat it
as such,
as a secret.
Okay.
Yeah. If you don't treat it like a secret, there it goes. And then a lot of times you could get a patent on a formula.
Okay.
And then everybody would know that.
Ah.
So that's why you wouldn't do it. You would keep it a secret.
I gotcha.
And so you would do it as a trade secret.
Interesting.
Those things don't have to necessarily be memorialized in any sort of paperwork. It's just something you have to treat confidentially. I mean, you could have one guy that had a business and he knew his secret barbecue sauce or something, and he's the only one that knew it, and he wasn't going to tell anybody, and he used it in his product. But usually you end up doing these other things, like you said, binding people that are involved not to disclose it, and if anybody ever tries, you have to go after them and stop them.
Very good. And then you mentioned copyrights. So that I know a little bit about that because I've done a couple of books, that is, of course, regarding publishing and written material.
Well, it can include anything that's put in tangible form. You can have a dance performance a live dance performance that's copywritten. Copyright anything that you can.
Videos, songs.
Right. Sure.
Movies. Speeches, movies.
That's right. Anything jokes. That you can put into tangible form, you can copyright.
Excellent. We are going to take another quick break here. Lori Sandman is our patent attorney in the office here. She's with Snell Legal. And, of course, Mr. Greg Snell, the heavyweight attorney who is very good at what he does, joining me in the studio. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
And we are back with Greg Snell and Lori Sandman, and we are talking about patents and trademarks and service marks, oh my. And so here's the question, okay, for our two expert attorneys in the studio. If I think I have something that I believe should be protected in some way, or I've got the invention that's going to change the world, I've figured out how to do cold fusion in my garage, whatever, I know this is going to sound like a loaded question, but don't they need to sit down with an attorney and say, hey, how do I protect this?
Well,
how's that for a softball?
Well, that's a softball for sure, yeah. But I think the big question is, if it is really something worth protecting, yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a tough call, and a lot of people who think they have a great idea, maybe not. Sometimes they have great ideas, but they just don't know how to market them. They don't know how to do anything with them, and so it sort of ends up being a lot of struggle, and they do have a great idea, and they get this patent, and then it goes nowhere.
Okay.
So it's sort of one of those, and you can, somebody like, you know, Lori or I can talk to people and tell them, oh, you know, I mean, and you can always go for laughs, as Lori would tell you, and look at the search engine on the United States Patent and Trademark Office for, and just search for patents,
right,
and see if anything turns up like what you have,
right,
or what you're thinking about.
Right.
Or you can just, you know, look
just
up.
Just Google it.
Like, you know, crazy things. And you'll be surprised. Somebody probably has invented some crazy thing that you thought about.
I think it's also important to remember that you can't patent an idea. What you have to have is something that can be reduced to practice. In other words, until you can make it work, and
you can't patent
it. You can't patent it.
So I can't do a patent on, you know, the whatever, the cold fusion or whatever. I use the example, or I can't say I've got an invisible force field.
That's right.
I can't patent that because I don't have a way of showing that I can demonstrate the technology.
Well, until you can what they call reduce it to practice, until
right,
you can build and use it, it really doesn't exist in a form that the patent office can recognize.
Interesting.
Something people don't realize, too. So if you do have any, you know, if there's anybody out in the audience, they have a great idea, you have to be careful about going out and trying to market your great idea before
right,
you get the patent.
Right, right, right.
Maybe Lori could explain that a little better than I could.
Well, that's how you get stuff stolen, right?
Well, you lose your right to patent it.
Once you disclose your secret, once you disclose your invention, you do lose the ability to tie it up.
Hmm.
We say that an invention that goes into the public domain is no longer a patentable invention.
So I guess, you know, what a lot of people are going to, as they listen to this, are going to say, well, how do I know then what to do? You know, it's chicken or the egg. You say, Greg, we got to market it. We got to know it's got some traction, but I need to protect it. And so how do I do that? So I think maybe I'll answer slightly here and then you can finish it. If somebody thinks they've got something that's really worthwhile, isn't it worth them calling up, sitting down with you and saying, look, here's what I'm doing. Maybe they've done some of the Google searches. Maybe they've done the patent office search, but they're not seeing anything like it or nothing that is close enough. It's different enough. Once they've done that, isn't it worth sitting down and talking with an attorney for an hour and saying, here's what I've got? You know, type it up, have everything put together. Don't come in and just talk, but have some things put together and come in. And I mean, isn't it worth it for the potential if somebody thinks they really have struck oil?
Yeah.
It's definitely worth it. And there are ways that you can initiate some protection and still be working on refining your idea. There's something called a provisional patent that allows you to begin to actually market. Once you file a provisional application, have a year under which to do some limited commercial work to determine whether or not it is going to fly commercially. And so we can share a lot of advice as to how to begin to get the process going and how to assure success with it without losing your rights.
Well, I'd say we're going to do, Lori. We're going to have you back for another day, another program to do that. But in the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get a hold of Greg Snell and Lori Sandman, the website again is snelllegal.com. And as Greg said earlier, that's three L's. So snelllegal.com. And the telephone number, it's on the website, 677-3232, and it's 386 area code. Greg, Lori, thanks for being on the program.
Glad to be here.
Thank you.
It's fun.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.